And mahalo for listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. And we're going to have a fun show tonight. Alan Faya is in here with me, and he brought his ukulele, and he's got a handful of things. And today, I heard Brandy just giving, you know, some love out to Andy Iron's family. I want to extend that also. Definitely, he was a big part of our lives and, you know, on our surf team and known him since little boy. Wonderful guy, Danielle, if you're listening somehow. We love you, Phil, Brucey. So my helper, Marshall, he is, again, out with his brother's family. He passed away unexpectedly, so Marshall is out there helping him. So I do not have my phone, man. So today, if you call in at 826-7771, you're probably just going to go straight online, or you're going to go straight on hold, and then you will go on the air. So we're not going to have Marshall's calm voice helping you know what's going on, but I'm letting you know what's going on. So this is Kauai Soapbox. Mahalo for supporting our station always, and Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with George's Food Truck and Kauai Store.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Chef George of the Jungle Food Truck, now in Wailua at Kamokila Hawaiian Village, serving local burgers, gyros, and falafel. Also, Summer's Organic Shave Ice with fresh fruit. Open Sunday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. 783-0230 for takeout. Chef George of the Jungle supports KKCR.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostilas. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Alan, let's see if I've got you mic'd up okay.
Is this a check?
It's a check. Hey, thank you, Alan. And by the way, Alan's going to be playing some music in this show today. I got a letter from him, and the way Kauai Soapbox works is when people reach out to KKCR and to myself, then what we do is we see if there isn't a way to bring that story onto the air. And he said, well, that's when I got ukulele lessons. So I was like, well, bring your ukulele class. But you didn't bring the whole class, but what did you bring?
I brought two CDs. One from our class. We'll play two tracks on that one. And then I brought a third CD that goes back in time to the days of the Happy Hawaiians that used to play at Tahiti Nui. And that was, if you all remember the Tahiti Happy Hawaiians, this is one of their best songs that I picked out that I can play along with.
Right on. And then Honey Girl Pu'ule Ho'o Manawanui, she's on that Happy Hawaiian CD. Now, Auntie Honey Girl, if you're listening, we love you too. I know that you are recuperating in Wilcox right now. I guess she hurt herself or something. So otherwise, she was going to be in here to be a part of the duet. He's nodding. You have to say yes. They can't hear your nod.
Well, Honey Girl is on this track. And just for reference, it's the song is Pu'alilia, which is one of my favorites. And Holly Pete was the master of the Happy Hawaiians, and that was his favorite song.
So we'll be listening to that one soon.
Later.
Well, yeah, later. You know, in this, probably we'll be listening to the music within the first 40 minutes of the show. And I've known you, I think, probably about 25 years or so. And so I always think of you as being from Hanalei, but you're also from Waimea, too, yeah?
I was born and raised Waimea, and I was born in a plantation dispensary in Waimea, as my father was in the same dispensary many years before that.
And Honey Girl also, her grandfather was Charles Titcomb, I believe.
Well, the grandfather that we talk about was John Hanahano Pa. And this is back in the 30s when he was taking care of us in our ancient Hawaiian koa canoe to help rig it and to teach me how to swim. And that was when I was maybe 4 or 5 years old. And his way of teaching Hanahano was to take you to the end of Hanalei Pier, and he'd throw a big piece of habush, which floats just like balsa wood. He'd throw it way out. He'd say, "Okay, boy, I throw you in the water, and you swim over, and you grab that, and then you swim back." So that was my first swimming lesson, John Hanahano Pa. Mm-hmm. And that was her grandfather.
Yes, that was her maternal grandfather.
Yep, right.
And his mother is pretty famous for helping with the he'au there at Ke'e, and their family were among the last to come out of Kalalau Valley. They had lived back there. And so when I mentioned Charles Titcomb, she is also, though, he was Kilauea Sugar, right? He started...
Yep.
Kilauea Sugar, and your family, correct me if I'm wrong, they were sugar also, right?
Well, yeah. You want to hear about my grandfather?
Yeah, I want to start with a little bit of your history, and then we're going to listen to some music, and then we're going to talk about modern agriculture.
Okay, just very quickly, he was a Norwegian immigrant, and his cousin was Valdemar Knudsen, and Valdemar Knudsen sent him a message in Norway and said, "Cousin, please come to Kauai to help me raise cane." So my grandfather came across the country over the boats and all that, and he wound up with the Valdemar Knudsen starting Ke Kaha Sugar Company.
Yes, and do you know roughly what year that was?
He arrived in 1880, and then he happened to be invited by the Robinson family to a function on Niihau. And who was there at Niihau was his future bride, Margaret Lindsay, and her family had come from Scotland, and they came to Moloa'a, and they started a dairy in Moloa'a. This is 1882 or 3, whatever. And so after grandfather met my grandmother, of course, he had to ride his horse from Waimea Ke Kaha to Moloa'a to get to know the family. So they got married, and then he told the Lindsay family, he said, "Look, bring your dairy from Oloa, bring it over to Waimea," because my grandfather had just bought Waimea dairy. So that's how Moloa'a dairy wound up in Waimea.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. And so your family, correct me if I'm wrong, Waimea Plantation Cottages, does that belong to your family?
That was... At one time before Hurricane Eva, those were all worker houses. We had 100 sugar workers, so we had 100 houses almost. And when Eva came out on shore, it just thrashed those houses and moved them all around. So Eva was mostly oncoming waves. And so once all these cottages were thrashed about, then my brother Mike Faya got busy and figured out with all of us board members how to make a resort out of it, our little cottage hotel, and that's how we got started.
And is it called Kukiula? Is that the name of your, when you said the board, was the board of what?
Yeah, okay, the company, in the old days, it was Waimea Sugar Mill Company. Later on, we became a Kikiaola Land Company because that was getting away from sugar. And as such, we owned everything up to Kikiaola Boat Harbor. It's Kikiaola.
What does it mean? Kikiaola. Help me. Do you know what the word means?
King Ola. Kikiaola.
Oh, okay.
So what happened then is after, it's interesting because the board of directors had met in August, and we had an old plan somebody had dreamed up that said, you folks could have a little cottage hotel down here. And by golly, November came, and suddenly the Waimea cottages were born.
And Mike is pretty good at lifting up old cottages and moving them, right? Because some of those came from other places. Instead of destroying the old houses, they put like on a big flatbed and move them and then repair them.
He's known for being the mover, not only on Kauai, but on the Big Island. And the one move that always, it really surprised me, that he took the old Karuzi house in Kekaha, which is a big, huge, two-story house, and he put that on wheels and brought it down here, and it's one of our flagship cottages. It's the Karuzi house. And
as in John Karuzi?
No. I remember that. All I remember was Grandma Karuzi was living there. I don't know which Karuzi it was.
John Karuzi, who has Kepa Karuzi's his kid, who was married to Keani Karuzi, who was on the Hokulea, and he's building the canoe down there at Niamalu. So
I think there's a relationship there, but I'm not sure. But that was quite a move, and Michael has also moved other houses where he's had to cut them all up. One thing that happened was at Kokei, there was a family, Kokei Cottage, which during the year that they competed for leases, it was in Mike's side of the family. That house was lost to the lessee, so he chopped it all up and brought it down to Waimea Plantation Cottages. And it's one of our seaside, it's called a JBF house, and it's one of the favorite houses. But see, he's got all these ideas how you can cut everything up, move it, and rebuild it.
That's what happened with Hanalei School. I used to have Hanalei Surf Company, and I used to actually work in the Hanalei School building when it was right there at the school, and that was a very big production to save that building. Gaylord Wilcox moved it down the street. They cut it into four pieces, and it definitely took a lot more work than just building a brand new piece, but it was nice to hold on to a piece of the heritage. And are you related to Gaylord?
Who?
Gaylord Wilcox?
Only as a good friend.
Only as a good friend. And then one of your ukulele mates is his sister, Patsy.
I was just talking to Patsy a half hour ago. She was on her way to a soccer game, and it starts at 4 o'clock. So she said it ends at 5. So on the way home, she said she'll listen to us, but she does want to come in with some of our ukulele. Our group is called Ukulele Nahaumana o Na Molokama, and our ukulele teacher, Tutu, is Beverly Kauanui, and she's known for being an entertainer at Tahiti Nui on Wednesday nights, and she's going to be one of the key people at the Smith's Garden honoring King Kamu'uli on this coming Saturday.
I'm going to be at that event. That sounds like a really good one. And you look like you have a very nice ukulele right there. Is that Koa?
This is Koa, and it's built by a skip proposal. Excuse me. It's Koa wood, and it's the most beautiful piece of work you've ever seen. It has the island of Kauai embedded in the top here in a pearl. And then down the fretboard is Maile and Mokihana.
Mm.
And it sounds, put it up a little bit. That's good. Can you hear it?
Yeah, I can. I can't tell if I've got, can you tap the microphone a little bit just so I, okay, I got it.
I guess I could have plugged in, but you don't have plugins. I'll tell you what, Mr. Raposo, he's right now making ukuleles for Japan. It's just so good. I got to go watch him. He lives right up above Kealia. And altogether now, I've bought some 20 of his ukuleles. I got Patsy Sheehan one and some of our other ukulele group in our Nahaumana. And some are four-string. And they're beautiful. They all have the beautiful sound. And, in fact, he is now producing a rubber bass It's a bass instrument. It looks like a ukulele, but it sounds like a bass.
Wonderful. And are the first song that we want to play, do we want one that's recorded, or do you want to sing us one?
How about if we look at that CD?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a track listed there. If you look at the track, we could do Koke'e.
All right, I will do Koke'e. And so you are listening to Kauai Soapbox. This is Felicia. Alan Faya is in the studio with me, and he has his ukulele. And as he just explained, he has a long history of, or family history of agriculture here. And that we are going to be discussing, you know, the agricultural practices of today. But so let's see. I don't play music
You see the track, though, right?
Yeah, 6.
Okay, good.
Okay, so let's see if Felicia has...
It might sound a little bit amateurish because I make these recordings at our ukulele classes, so they're not meant to be put on the market. They're meant to be for training other people how to play some of our songs.
What is that?
Okay.
Was really nice. So that's just a recording from one of your classes?
Yeah, that was one of our classes. Was that ukulele loud enough to hear?
I could hear it, and okay. Then I had that I had it mic'd up. And
okay, good. Usually we plug it in, you know, like down at the Nui.
Yeah.
We play at the Nui the second Tuesday of every month, so from 3 to 5. And so you can come down there, and a lot of tourists are just finishing lunch. So they hang around while we play. And then later on, Koko Kane Ili'i and his group come in. But we get to play at the Nui, which is fun. We can all plug in our instruments. We have a steel guitar.
And so you play on the bar side or on the luau side?
Oh, on the luau side.
On the luau side. Oh,
not the luau side. I'm sorry. It's on the bar side.
On the bar side.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on down and join. Oh, you can't be there. Well, 3 to 5. You could be there from 3 to 4.
I could probably come in for, you know, the first half hour.
That's true.
And how many people are in your class?
Well, it depends. Sometimes we have up to 13 of us.
Wow.
She has a new class that started just recently at the Princeville Sunset Circle room there. They have 9 to 10 on Saturdays, beginners.
So that would be Unit 4, kind of over in the area near Hanalei Bay Resort.
Yeah, it's right there off of Liholiho Road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good group. She has new people, and then when they get good, they come over and join the advanced group.
Wonderful. So you have another song picked out on this CD. Would you like to play it now?
Are
you
sure? Want,
okay.
Fine.
Why don't we do that? And
now this song is for those of you who have heard of Frank Hewitt. He's very famous Hawaiian. Written a whole lot of songs, and he was at the Queen Ambulani Festival on the second Saturday at Kokei, just a month ago. And so this song is a song that has to do with a bird, and so we'll bring that on now.
Okay.
I don't know all the words, but I can strum it.
All right, so let me try this one, bring it up. Hmm. Well,
it's not getting to the right track, huh?
It's not getting to the right track because, so if somebody in the station is listening, it's on a track that is beyond what this gives me the ability to go to. Well, we can probably come back to that one in a little bit.
Well, oh, maybe I'll take a look at it and find a different song. But
here, let me see. Is this it? That might not be the right one. That might be Lahaina Luna.
Oh, that's Lahaina Luna. Well, we'll take time out when you're doing some advertising or something.
Yeah. And then,
I'll look, at the, at the CD and maybe pick a different song.
Actually, you know what? I will I'll play another thing real quick here, and then we'll grab somebody in here to help me pull that up. This is something that I find. This is Democracy Now! Amy Goodman, you know, doing a little pitch for us here at KKCR.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. As a beacon of free speech, KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. KKCR brings you Hawaiian culture and music, independent voices and choices like Democracy Now!, otherwise shut out from the corporate media. During this program, please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you and become a sustaining member. Your monthly support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
I love that. Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, she rocks, you know. She's got such a strong, he's got a Democracy Now!
That's from South Africa.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, he's got a bracelet on that says that. And I actually have Brandy in here. Brandy, are you wanting to be mic'd up?
Well, sure. I just wandered in. We're a bunch of guys over here playing music out there, but I came in at the perfect time to hear that. And I think I'm pretty right when a week or so ago, didn't we manifest that Amy Goodman would know about our plight here?
That was Jonathan Jay manifesting that.
So I think that we are a melting pot of amazing, manifesting, extraordinary souls. And we, all we need to do is ask, and look how fast that was. And everyone, she's a voice for people like us. So that was pretty awesome. I had my mouth pretty wide open just then, just amazed that that was such quick turnaround. So I just wanted to say yay for us, and wow.
Yeah, and, you know, for her, I was listening to Democracy Now! Today. I listened to a little bit of it yesterday, and she does such a good job of covering these global issues that it is, it's hard to top it.
Yeah, and she makes it impossible to ignore, you know.
Yeah, she does. She does a great job on that one.
All right, I'm going to pop back out. Thank you so much.
Okay, and Brandy's a musician, so I wasn't sure if you were going to pull your guitar in here.
Hey, I would like to plug something since I am in here really quick. This Thursday is one of my last gigs before I go to New York for 6 weeks. So if you want to come down to the gallery down in Qingyang, the Manifestorium, the general store of Qingyang Village, I play at 7 o'clock this Thursday and next Thursday. So I'd love to see you out there. And yeah.
Wonderful.
Have a great day. Aloha.
This Thursday at 7.
This Thursday at 7.
Yep. Aloha. In the original Qingyang building.
Thank you.
Okay. And so Alan Dove came in here and helped me be ready for playing this song. So here we go.
Don't clap. Throw money. Just give us the money.
I think when he says throw money, that might have been that we were recording that at Tahiti Nui, and they do have donations there. All the musicians have that. So that was her husband, Pat. He plays a good guitar. That's a song that kind of it's monotonous in a way, but it's so enrapturing, and it's Frank Hewitt at one of his best.
Yeah, and Tahiti Nui is really community-minded down there. You know, there's always, you know, a lot of love being shared around the room. And I remember Auntie Louise, and she was really, really a big community member. Certainly, you know, her son and grandson and grandchildren, Nanea, everybody, Christian, all good. So it's wonderful that they opened their doors for that, and that's part of the community, and a lot of hula happening in there, and many, many good things. So you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Alan Faya. So, Alan, I'm going to let your ukulele rest for a moment. And let's talk agriculture for a little bit. So you have a lot of experience. Have you ever been a farmer yourself?
From the oldest days that I can remember, working at the Wymed Dairy. And this is especially when the war started. That was in 1941.
World War II for young people.
World War II, yeah. That was one of those situations where, at that point, we used to have cow feed brought in from the mainland. It's called milk flow. Well, when the war started, there was no milk flow. They only would bring GIs and equipment out. So the shipping did not bring food. So we kids, let's see, what was I, 8 years old? 9 maybe. We would go out in the Kiawi field. The trees had all these beans. They were yellow beans about 8 or 10 inches long. And we would pick Kiawi beans and fill a burlap bag. And a burlap bag took maybe a couple hours to fill. And then you take the dairy and you get 10 cents for it. Big deal. But they would take that and then over to the Lawai pine when they did the pineapples. They took the outside of the pineapples off, and they roasted that and made a bran that we'd mixed with molasses from our sugar mill. So we took Kiawi beans, we took the pineapple, pineapple bran, and then also we'd take cane tops, cut those up, and that's how we fed our cows. And the cows were mostly Ayrshire, they're very clean cows.
Okay,
so I did have that experience, and then many years, over the years, I did work a lot at the dairy off and on during summer breaks.
And did you work the sugar part of the business at all?
I worked sugar and dairy both.
And then how about pineapple? I know Honey Girl would have given us a pretty good insight to pineapple.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry that Honey Girl's not here, but the best thing I remember about pineapples is when we used to drive to Hanalei, we used to go through the pineapple field by before Malawa and just drive through there and pick pineapples that were almost ripe and take them to our Hanalei house. And that was my experience with pineapples, free pineapples. But the company, that was Kauai Pine, they didn't care.
Yeah. So what do you think about what's happening with agriculture now? And I know that you guys have some land and you have agriculture tenants on it. And then I saw your letter of concern about the dairy, and I have to say that it gave me a whole little disk or a zip drive of data and letters and history, and it was very, very robust. And so I returned your call, and you had said that you sent this information pretty much to all our elected officials. Is that correct?
I think altogether there is on the order of at least 40 letters, including Mayor Carvalho and Governor Ige, and all the health department people.
Did you hear back from anybody? You heard back from me.
I heard back from you. I hear back from them through Bridget Hammerquist. She's the president of Friends of Mahalepu. She's the one that spark plugging active
concern over the
concern
dairy.
Over the dairy. And so we worked together, Bridget and I did, and she thought that my experience with dairy farms would be applicable here, which it certainly is.
So what is your mana'o on the dairy at Mahalaupu versus Moloa and Waimea?
Well, at Waimea, we had pretty good soil, so we could take care of the effluent, call it effluent, the byproducts.
Poop and pee?
Poop and pee. And the problem became severe when, well, we let Medigal take over our dairy because they were more efficient. So we leased the cows to Medigal, and they ran our dairy for a few years. In the meantime, we had that hurricane, and we started to build a hotel. And the Waimea Plantation cottages, pretty soon, the dairy was not taking care of their flies and odor problem.
For clarity, are we talking about Aniki, Hurricane Aniki?
No,
in
that
the
was
90s?
Eva.
Eva in the early 80s.
Yeah.
83, so, I think.
Yeah. And so what happened was we rebuilt all those plantation houses, and we did find out that the Medigal would not take care of the problem of flies and odor. Flies were coming in and biting the guests, and the odor was horrific. So we kicked them out of there. We sent them to Moloa. Apparently Moloa was able to take them, and they took them for long enough to find out that there was a lot of byproducts, pee and poop, from that dairy into the Moloa Bay.
I think it was mostly down there at Papa'a Bay that was Peter Goober down there who was filing the complaint. I remember because
right.
It was Lonnie Moo Dairy.
Yeah.
I personally wasn't opposed to it at all. I was like, okay, great, and it made good compost.
Well, it was okay up to a point, and I guess the local people, more than just one or two of the whole group, said
no more.
Jeff Linder was a property owner, and they said out of here. So they left. So that at that point, there were no more dairies on the island.
Right. So you're saying Moloa and Waimea both closed because their impact was too great. And in the Moloa place, it was up pretty high. It was on the Malka side of the highway. People can still see that dairy. It's sort of a rust-colored building there on the left. That was the milking barn. So that was too problematic when it was up on the flatland, on the bluff there.
Right. I think there may have been nothing they could have done because of the topography and the soil condition, which to me looks a lot like Mahuilepu, because that's clay soil, and it will not, it'll be a runoff problem. And so the HDF Hawaii Dairy Farmers Farm would be a disaster. It'll be, especially when they up to have 2,000 cows.
How many cows were at Moloa or in Waimea?
About 300.
Okay, so it's a factor of 7 more.
Well, and then the story is that this dairy is an experiment. It's a test to find out if they can do this kind of farming. And then their plan is to, this is 2,000 cows, and their plan is to have a total of 5 throughout the state of Hawaii. They would have totally 10,000 cows, and I have no idea where they're going to locate these because they take a lot of acreage, and this farm dairy is way too small for 2,000 cows.
What about up on the bluff to the Mauka side above Waimea? And please, Waimea people, I might get some angry calls. That might be Robinson land up there. I don't know, but it seems like there's a high area up there that might be an appropriate place. Or do you guys have any land that might be appropriate for it?
Not for us, but what about the Knutson land that's up by Mount Kahili? That whole area is just the right place to grow that special grass. That they talk about the grass having been like New Zealand grass. And apparently it's not working that well in New Zealand.
Yeah, I was going to say, in that package, that package has, I should pull it open right here, about close to 20 elements in there, and it's a lot of arguments that say why this isn't going to work there, and speaks particularly about the soil there in Mahalaupu and where it is just around the corner from Poipu and the Hyatt. And for what it's worth, Kaloa Poipu area, that generates one-third of the tax revenue in terms of real property tax. I hate to be so crass as to break it down into dollars and cents, but I'm kind of surprised that they would threaten an area like that.
Can you imagine that the trade wind blows from that location right into the Hyatt? And odors and flies?
Well, and so your experience would be that, yes, it absolutely would?
Yes, I think they have a legitimate complaint there. And, of course, the golf course right there, one of the star golf courses of the whole island. And the effect of that on golfers would be humongous.
Now, the amount of jobs that it would create, I think, is 10, 11, something like that. Do you remember?
Something on that order, 12 or so.
Yeah. So it is, I'm always about, like, creating food on our island for here, even if in this case the milk is going to go over to Oahu to be pasteurized and processed. It still is milk that is on the island. We might have a caller. We're going to check this out. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Felicia, I was wondering, I heard you guys talking about the dairy, but I think you gotta remember that it's like smoke and mirrors. They're really going to put the dairy there, and they're going to fail. So they're going to say, well, we have to generate income to our land, so we can build. They're going to get the land use commission guys who are all, you know, all political hacks. They can change the dichotomy of the land, you know, from ag to commercial use, so they can build more hotels right there. And it'll be the last place in on the southeast side of Kauai.
So you're suggesting that the goal behind putting the dairy there would be really to upzone the land to resort?
Well, to put the dairy in there to fail, to show it it'll fail, and then, we got to do something else because we can develop it so we can get the land rezoned. Because they have to do, you know, supposedly they have to upgrade the land use from ag to commercial. But all over there, it's pretty hard because you have an ag and you have the urban open, and then you have conservation. So that's where all the politics come into it. So just listening to you guys, yeah, I agree with Alan Faya that, yeah, dairy would be disastrous, but the other part would be, which would be more disastrous. I mean, to do commercial, which, you know, you generate, you said on your station just now, you know, a lot of income comes from the commercial ventures of the hotel, of course.
It comes from resort and residential in that area. Commercial is more like shopping center or, you know, industrial. So, I mean, like that whole beautiful cradled area in there, maybe that could be something like resort residential. But I would think Grove Farm could just put it on the other side of the mountain. That's what I don't get. Why they put this investment in when it would be. And so you're suggesting that this is a calculated plan.
Yeah.
And that maybe.
Could be, you know, could be. The other one was when you were talking about, it's talking to an agricultural guy in New Zealand and used to work for Fonterra in Mangere. And he said, you know, New Zealand, we have those cows that are hybrid cows that are going to send to Kauai. Those cows are raised on Kikuyu grass. Kikuyu grass only grows up like the highest place in Pohokee. And Kikuyu grass doesn't grow down in Mahaulepo.
What I've heard, though I haven't gone to see it, is that it is planted, though not thriving, is what I've heard. If somebody...
Yeah, it needs high elevation.
Yeah, that it's low and more rainy maybe than what is needed. So thank you for that, Mana'o.
Yeah. Okay. Take care.
Okay. Aloha.
Bye.
So, you know, when we look at agricultural pieces, and, I you're really an excellent person to ask this, and I know that your board is a bigger family. It's not, you know, left up to just one person. It is a challenge, right? When families have these big holdings of land, then they get some choices. They could put resort on it, like you guys put a resort piece. I know that there has been a thought of a sports complex right there. People get concerned, like Syngenta's on your property, correct?
Yeah, they were preceded by Pioneer. That was way, way back 20 years ago.
But they
now,
are...
Now they are still there.
They're your tenants. And so it's kind of an understatement to say that it's not supported by everybody, right?
Personally, I would like to see them elsewhere.
Right, and so it's a family making a decision, yeah. And many of the board actually live in California and Oahu and other places.
Yeah, we have two that live in Hawaii, board members.
Yeah, and
well, actually three now, so three.
So what confronts a large landowner that it's really legacy land ownership? What confronts the landowner when they are trying to make their best choices for the use of the land? Because help us understand that. You know, everybody can judge. Everybody can get upset, whether it's Grove Farm or, Knutson or the Fias. But, like, what do you guys get confronted with when you're making choices for the land?
Like in our case, you mean?
Well, I mean, you could speak to your case, but, I mean, just, like, helping us see that other side of it. Because people will say, I don't get why they do that.
Well, I just question the choice of location because I believe that whole piece of land is really zoned ag. It's ag. Ag.
For, you're talking about the dairy right now.
Yeah.
Right.
If it's ag, and it kind of stretches it a little bit to see if you're going to have cows on ag land. It's a question in my mind.
Is cows not ag?
Not in my way of thinking. I think ag is growing crops of food. I think if you took that whole piece of land and made it into an agricultural development to serve the island to be more independent, make a lot of sense, right?
Would it make economic sense?
It could. I think on the North Shore here, there's been very successful ag developments up here. People are looking into self-sustaining farms up here in Kilauea.
Yeah. Okay, so breaking things up into small ag lots, that definitely would work. I think there's people who would like to see that conservation. I know that the soil there is particularly good for kalo.
Yeah, in fact, in the olden Hawaiian days, it was kalo and sweet potato, and that was a major export in the early days. When the ships came into Koloa Landing, they would take kalo and sweet potato out, and it came from that very area.
Yeah, it's got particularly good soil for that. Another issue that's been up and a big discussion is water. I went to the last water meeting. There were five water meetings. Were you able to make any one of those? They've had the water department.
No, I'm sorry. I got into this kind of late after a lot of this because I've been ramping up with Bridget. She and I have been the most concerned about Friends of Mahalepu.
Right, for the dairy, yes.
For the dairy. So as far as water is concerned, I know there's a lot of issues there. There's Waitā and there's a lot of different sources of water there.
For that particular area, and I'm kind of bringing it even larger to just water on the island. There's a whole water challenge on the island. We're going to be talking about a handful of different things, but while we're still on the dairy... Since you're keeping it right there, I want to ask you just for further clarification, because when I got your letter personally written to me, and then I could see you put a 30-gigabyte zip drive in there, and, you know, it had a lot of data on it, and, you know, a personal letter from you. And then I called you, and you said, oh, you're the first person who called. And I go, oh, did you send it to other people? And you said yes, and that you'd sent it to all these. Did any of them respond to you directly? Because you didn't say in that letter, call Bridget, this was your letter about your issue with all this information. Did anybody respond to you directly besides me?
That's a very good question. I was very surprised that your call came in right away.
As soon as I opened it up.
And you were right on it, and I thought, boy, if everybody was like you are, wouldn't it be? I would take all calls day and night. I would love to talk to everybody. And I know a lot of the councilmen. I know Ron Cochi really well, and you know, Jimmy Chilkula and Gary Hooser, all those kind of people, and the mayor. And so the thing is, we need to have our officials, maybe they're busy looking at the thumb drive or the 30-gig drive before they're going to call. Then it might be that I'll be getting calls maybe from this discussion today.
Because it's been about maybe 10 days or more since that came in, and there's something called the Four Agreements. Have you ever heard of the Four Agreements? I can't remember who came up with that, but people always tell me you need to look at the Four Agreements. And one of those Four Agreements, I will look it up, but one of those Four Agreements is don't take anything personally. And I always have to remember that, because sometimes I do take things personally. And that is a challenge for me. And I know that when I write to all these different pieces of the government, and I put a lot of energy in to trying to chase down how I can help. That's really what I'm coming from. How can I help? And one of the things that I'm putting out there is, hey, I've got this two-hour show. It's a lot more than a public service announcement. We can look at topics that affect us, and we can look at it deeply. We can really explore the issue. And I get very, very little response. I have to almost just chase them down as the primary source. And I try very hard to get the primary source in here to speak on it. Like, in fact, you are a primary source in that you are one of these, or you are a part of a collection of a family that has large landownings. And so, you know, I bring people in and respectfully say, okay, you know, what's up? What do you think? You know, how can we do stuff? I actually do know somewhat with those landownings that you have there in Waimea. Many of these leases were signed 20 years ago and longer before anybody even knew what this agriculture style was.
Well, yeah. The science and technology follows after many years. You find out, like the Syngenta issue, you know, who knows what those different chemicals are doing to the... Well, in fact, it's already been proven there's problems with the chemicals. But we didn't find that out for many, many years. Now we do. Speaking of callers, we've had one caller so far. And so is that normal that for a show we've been on this long, only one caller so far?
Well, 826-7771, people can call in. And, you know, usually on this show, the first portion, people are kind of respectfully listening, and then they start to come in with their thoughts and mana'o on different aspects of what's going on. And so it is, you know, a place for people to call in. And when I was bringing up the water and bringing up my little whine about not always being informed.
The 4 points.
The 4 points, yeah, it's saying don't take everything personally. I will say that I did get the message from the water department. They had 5 dates that they went around the island. I just caught the last one, the Lihue meeting. This was last week because I had gone to the Bioneers Conference in California. But I went. I was really glad that I was there. There was about maybe 7 members of the public, 3 of whom were very strongly spoken. I was glad that they were there. Adam Asquith, Don Heacock, Lonnie Kawahara. Had they not been there, it would have made a profound difference, because what is going on is that we now have a pattern of getting consultants. The county will hire a consultant to help us do that. And to me, in some ways, it's like outsourcing their job. And we get all these really wonderful people, whether they're coming in from the State Water Commission or the consultants or the local water department. But if the foundation of the information isn't correct and nobody's there to correct it, we have a big challenge. And so there's something called a sustainable yield. How much water is underneath the mountain for us to be able to utilize?
Aquifers.
The aquifers. And right. So what had been there in the 1990 count and before was based upon what Oahu has. Mm-hmm. And Oahu has a different kind of rock structure underneath. It's a newer island, and there's a larger lens of fresh water underneath. And what's been described to me, and I could have a knock on my listener, and you can call in 826-7771. But Kauai is a little bit more like a big pumice stone. So we get a lot of rain. And the whole thing is kind of saturated with water, but we don't have that big lens. And so what we're learning in the past 15 years is when we drill wells, if you pull 1 million gallons a day out, for example, it's going to pull 1 million gallons a day out of the stream. And so we really are having a very big challenge. And at the meeting that I was at, there was many people in there who, the three that I mentioned were very concerned about the fact that we were starting with a baseline of inaccurate information, and it was known to be inaccurate.
Yeah.
And so when we're looking at this, these numbers where it looks like every single ahupua'a or valley or area of the island.
There's five.
There's five moku. Yep. Five moku. And so when all the moku look like they have enough water and more for the capacity of what's there, but when we know, okay, that's inaccurate. So the contractors, they were doing what they were contracted to do, and they were told to use this 1990 baseline study as the foundation until it gets corrected, and the Water Commission has the kuleana, the responsibility to correct it. The Water Commission woman was there, very, very nice, owning the fact that they don't have the capacity to go out and really study it and correct it in alignment with the time of the contractor who's doing the job. So democracy is a lot of work. It takes all of us to be going out and to be really giving this pushback. And I get discouraged. The Kauai General Plan update, that is going to be utilizing what water comes out of this water plan. And this week... yesterday and today, I have these papers somewhere here.
If you're looking for something, while you're looking for it, let me just mention something about water. In Waimea, we have a field called Field 14, which is a nice setting behind the two tech buildings right next to the hospital. And we started out with a plan to develop 44 townhouses, and these are really nice. In fact, I was going to buy one that was right next to the Gulick Roll House, mm-hmm. by the big monkeypox tree. Well, it turned out that that our water that was promised for that job went somewhere else. And if you don't have water, you can't build. So that was when we got a big shock about that. In the meantime, we went to Knutson, and they have wells up on their property, which is just above our sugar cane fields. And they arranged with us that we could put in two wells and take out 1 million gallons of water. And so that raised a big question, because when you do something like that, it costs a lot of money to do that. So in order to make it practical, in order to build the two, it was starting out with 500,000 gallons, okay? That you had to build so many units down here in order to meters. So you got to have at least, 1,000 houses or something, mm-hmm. buildings, condos or whatever. So it's kind of a trade-off there. You can't always make it with the water. You can't have the water if you don't have the place to put it.
That's right. Right. That's a very big part of it. So you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you.
KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea K224CQ Anahola K284AL Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Copper Man, copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com or 639-3456.
Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia.
Hi.
I just had a couple of comments about water and mostly related to Puna District, to Punamoku. One is that now we have cocoa palms coming back online. Well, cocoa palms has not been using water for a very, very long time. So this is going to be a major water hit coming in Puna. And at the same time, we have development down there by coconut plantation, and we have another development planned with multiple units down just below where the middle school is. And our question all along has been, where do they expect to get the water for this? Because a lot of the water that was going to Kealia, those places, is being diverted away from our area and not even staying within our own moku. And as you have pointed out, the way that Punamoku is geologically, if we keep drilling wells and do this, it takes away the stream flow. So now there is a major push to restore 50% of the stream flow to the streams in these districts such as ours, because you cannot maintain ecological health of the Aina without having fresh water. So, you know, water is a major, major issue, and I don't think anybody's really, outside of a few of us on this island, is really looking at it from the larger perspective of long-term water use and who gets to use the water. There's so much of it that's being used in areas that it doesn't come from. The water doesn't come from that area.
Yes, and there are redirections really from the time of sugar, for the most part, is when they're there.
But they were supposed to, when those plantations were closed, my understanding was that there's supposed to be a restoration of stream flow. And from people that we have in our Apupua'a group under Nani Rogers, they've documented that not only are the diversions continuing, but in places where wooden diversions have worn out or been removed, that they're being replaced by steel gates that are drilled into the bedrock. So it doesn't seem to me like there's any intention at all in returning the water.
So stay on the line for a moment. Let me just ask Alan a little bit about this, because he's got to know some of it. And I know that, like, for myself, at an earlier time when we were looking at what happens when those ditches go into disrepair, like has happened in Kilauea, or they've been covered over, it's a lot of work and very difficult to reclaim the waterways. So it takes, it's like a Solomon's choice. You know, do you keep the water running like in Kekaha? The Kekaha Ag Association has really endured the cost and keeping that water flowing, though maybe Waimea River is dry as a result. Alan, do you have something to say?
Well, yeah, the Kekaha ditch that was put in back in the 1920s, my grandfather and his cousin, Uncle Yurt, put that water system in that takes the water off the top of the island and brings it down by ditches and plumes and all that, and it irrigated all of Waimea and Kekaha. So, I mean, that was not taking it out of the ground. It was just runoff. We just counted on enough rainfall, and it seemed to be sufficient from the source, which is up Mohi'i, you know, Camp 10, where the water rains all the time up there.
Right. Although somehow now Waimea River is pretty dry. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, the river is not so much of a source of water for anybody. It just flows. I have to say, I do have to say there's some kalo and people, you know, farmers around where we used to have sugar cane on that other side of the river.
Up in that Machiavelli area. Caller, I happen to have gone up and kind of towards Blue Hole. That's one of the areas where the water has been diverted substantially to where I would say close to 100%. I get a lot of, I joke and say this show is like one of the complaint departments of the island, and I'll see photographs of the heavy equipment that move the rocks and boulders and make sure that that river right there at the spillway where, kind of up near Blue Hole, it goes through a tunnel and over towards the Wailua side, and I believe that goes to the power plant and different things. I went up there and looked, and it looks like somehow that has either caved in or rocks, big boulders are in there, and now the water is flowing over the spillway and down in the river. Do you know, since you brought up Punamoku, is it, because that was, I know, a very, very big point of anger that that portion of the Wailua River was left completely dry, except for in the heavy rain times. Now the water is flowing, and the water isn't going the other way. Do either you or Alan know if that has been a big bummer anywhere? I'm surprised that's not like on the front page of the paper.
Probably will be.
It's been more than a week or two.
I really don't know about that one. I just do know, and you know as well, that in order to get water restored for farmers and agriculture that exists in Punamoku, especially in Puli'ia and Niumalu and those places, that people are trying to form a water management unit and have a better control over who gets the water for what. Recently at the community college, we're a land grant institution. We're supposed to be teaching agriculture, and I work up there, and I have been talking to some of the people who are working on the farming part, and their biggest drawback to actually developing something where we can do farm to table, they tell me, is water. There's no water. And yet there's Department of Water pumps all the way across the campus. So, you know, I'm just trying to bring up the fact that I'm as confused as can be about the water situation. I don't think it's clear at all, and I don't think Department of Water has explained it in a way that makes it any clearer. And I'd like to see a little bit more equity in the water use, more of a balance than what apparently seems to be happening, when we can constantly have all of these building and development proposals, as is going on in Kapa'a in particular, Kapa'a Kealia. How can those be approved, and yet there's not a rewriting of the water management plan? And what I'm hearing from you is that by basing it on this 1990 study, that it really doesn't have that much correspondence to what actually exists.
Not at present, it doesn't. Although they say that, it seemed to me that everybody in the room was aware of that once it had been brought up. That's the challenge I have when we have these contracts with clearly defined expectations from the contractors, the subcontractors that are doing the plan. If people want to email to the contractor, it would go to office@fukunagaengineers.com. That's FUKUNAGA engineers.com, because they really are trying to look at this. It is a big deal. And so even just Mana'o, like what you had right there, Debbie Jackson was at the meeting. And so, you know, several of the people from the particular ag effort and Hulia were present. They were the ones that were calling attention to this. I did not get the sense that the Department of Water didn't care. I felt like everybody in there was wanting to do the right thing, but it really matters how these contracts are laid out, how this stuff is set up, and people can look at kauaiwater.org. And I know that's something that came up repeatedly, and part of the reason that they're doing this water plan is that the state deals with the surface water, the county deals with the well water, the groundwater, and we need to look at it holistically.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what this water plan is supposed to be about.
Well, you do remember, though, that the State Department of Water, they was within the last year,
they held a meeting on Kauai, and they walked the Kokei Ditch, et cetera.
And I did that with them. Uh-huh.
That was the first time in 20 years they had been to Kauai. And I realized they're short of people, but it was brought up at that meeting that it was 7 or 8 years ago where the people died from the dam that broke.
That is in Kilauea. Mm-hmm.
That has never been repaired or inspected by the State Department of Water. So it seems to me like Kauai has been left in a free-for-all situation where nobody really knows what's going on, and they're basing decisions on a faulty baseline and hiring contractors who, you know, their job is to try and find a decision that supports the person that's given them the contract.
And I did ask about that. I spoke with the woman from the, they call it CWRM, the Commission on Water Resource Management, and I said that the contractor that had been there on that walk up in the Waimea Canyon,
mm-hmm.
nice enough guy, you know, struggled with how to pronounce Hawaiian words, clearly didn't know how to name the different little rivulets or ahupua'a, the little small ones that are feeding into the Waimea River. And I was saying, why do you get these contractors that do not have a familiarity with the island? It really does us a disservice. So this is what she said. So if there's anybody out there listening who is really ma'a on how all these ditches go, and I could name some by name, but I won't do that on the radio, that they need to register with the state. So that if they're registered with the state, then the state can choose them. Because we really do need locally based people who are giving the knowledge and the information about what's going on in these ditches and these waterways.
Well, I have a suggestion. There's going to be Ahamuku Council meetings on Kauai. The one for Puna District is the 17th of November at the Lihue Neighborhood Center, and the one for Waimea for that area is going to be on the 18th, and they're both from 6 to 8 p.m. This is the time to come and bring up these issues and have a community conversation. So I urge, you know, I live in Puna Moku, so I urge people who live in Puna Moku, please come to the Ahupua'a meeting on the 17th of November from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Lihue'e Neighborhood Association and voice your concerns about water.
And so I'm going to add to that, Halelea is having their Ahu Moku meeting on November 19th. That's Thursday, same time, and that would be at Waipa. On the 24th, it's Koloa Moku. That's Tuesday, and that's going to be at the Koloa Neighborhood Association. I believe the one for looking, it's not in the same spot here. There's one for Ko'olau, which is basically Kilauea to just south of Anahola. Kealia is in the other group. That meeting is...
I think it took place, did it not?
Yeah, it did. Okay, I should know that. It was last Tuesday and I went. Okay, I'm just looking at these different things. And then just for the other islands, this week it's happening on Oahu because I can tell I've got people listening from around the island. So 3rd, 5th, 6th, and 16th tonight at Waialua, then Eva, then Waianae, then Ko'o, I don't know how to say this one, Ko'o Laupoko. So those are next week. Maui is the 9th and 10th of this week, and then Hawaii Island is the 20th and the 23rd, Lanai, 21st. Kaho'olawe, they're actually having one there. It's actually on Maui, but the Kaho'olawe one is the 28th, and Molokai is the 29th. So they are all around the islands.
We're making the rounds of the islands, and this is the time to bring up concerns.
Definitely.
So I'm going to sign off, Felicia.
Okay.
Show.
Thank you. And you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. Alan Faya is in here with me. Got a big smile on your face. We were talking about water. Have you followed the water issues much?
Unfortunately, from a distance, it seems so I can't get my hands around it. You know what I mean? You know,
it's a big deal.
It is.
And it's hard. Like, a couple things I learned this week. We have 360 registered production wells, but there's all kinds of private wells that they don't know. And we have 292 surface water diversions that's in their count.
So that begs the question, what does the water situation look like for Hawaii dairy farms?
Well, I think the big challenge with Hawaii dairy farms is that it's very close to two core wells,
right,
that are feeding Poipu and Kaloa. So we don't want contamination there.
In fact, they started out saying it was a quarter of a mile away, but in reality it's only 750 feet, the nearest well.
Yes, and that is in that zip drive that you gave. But it's I know that they've had that now, that information, for at least a year. So it concerns me that we don't hear action on it, and it concerns me why that. Like, I know that I've gone to a number of meetings, including their big meeting, and I took a lot of time to write what I felt like was important, and I never did hear back.
Well, I'm still curious about the 40 letters I sent out. How many are going to come back? I hope. I did hear that Joanne wanted to get together with me, and that's probably just one-on-one. I'd like to talk to her. Getting back to the question of that particular plot of land, is actually, it's possible for the right of eminent domain by the public. It's actually set up in that respect as it could be an ag piece, according to Bridget Hammerquist. She said that it's possible to take that land as a public trust land and make it into a real ag piece of land.
And, you know, all of these, they open up big cans of worms. I know Patsy Sheehan's property, they did an eminent domain on there. I used to live right on that property there, and that was where the canoe club was and all of that, and the county. We're talking about that, too, with the show.
That was actually Mike Sheehan.
Mike Sheehan, okay, yeah. Same family.
Well, they're different.
Okay. Different. Yes, they're two different people.
Same but different.
When I lived on the property, it was the same. So,
right.
I lived in one of those little houses back there, and it was a wonderful place. But they did an eminent domain on a chunk of their land because their infractions were allowing parking and having this little afternoon event on Sundays where it was a little economic development park. My son played music there and things. They came in with police. They put crime tape up. They did a big police raid on that place. And then my understanding when I look at the park plan is maybe that would be used for parking and a little bit of lightweight commercial activities. So they took it away from the people who had it. I don't think the money's been paid yet, but that's in the negotiation, and so that's part of this Hanalei Black Pot Park plan.
That's up for review very shortly.
That's up for review very shortly, and the next meeting date for that is Tuesday, November 17th from 6 to 8:30. And it's another contractor from Oahu that I had to just practically rip out teeth to not get a circular argument and wanting to be able to be speaking and reporting on it. I did end up having Parks and Recreation called in, but we had a very simplistic discussion of what was going to happen there. And all of these are really, these are big choices that affect our lives. And we just assume somebody else is going to look after it, but very important for people to participate.
Exactly.
So what is happening today already happened, and if somebody wants to call in and tell us what happened, or actually it's happening right now, Monday, November 2nd, that was yesterday, from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Hanapepe Public Library, they had the bus and walking tour for what's going on with this general plan. And then Wednesday the 4th, which is tomorrow, from 5:30 to 7, the Hanapepe Public Library. This is the closing presentation of what they're coming away with in this. So people better show up, because what I see is just a few people go. I happen to be one of them that show up for a lot of these meetings, especially in my own area. But these nice people who are doing the plan, they don't know. They don't know who they're not asking. So very important to go. Tuesday, that's today, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Kekaha Neighborhood Center, they were doing their introduction and bus walking tour. Tomorrow, from 12 to 1:30, they're having their closing presentation at the Waimea Courthouse. Are you aware of this?
No.
And you are a major landowner right in that neighborhood there. So we are not getting the word out. And I went and I looked on, it's called plankauai.com.
So we should be on our computers looking at that.
It is exhausting trying to look at all these things. They don't get the word out well enough. And that's why I really, really have to not take it personally, but I sure do try to have this. Thursday, I'm going to go. This Thursday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., starting at the Kilauea Neighborhood Center, they're having their introduction and bus walking plan. This is for the North Shore. So Friday, November 6th, 5 to 6:30, Church of the Pacific, Princeville. And people might think, oh, that's kind of boring. I don't want to do that. Do it. Because otherwise, there's just a small handful of people who have what they think is the right choice for how your community goes. And what happens is we turn around, we look, and we go, oh, my gosh, what happened? I was up at Crater Hill just this week, and I looked over at Princeville right near the water tank, and it looks like the whole little mountain area there has been buzzed. And I'm thinking, well, what's going on there? I don't know. But we have to really pay attention. Tonight, the Kilauea Neighborhood Association meeting starts at 7 p.m. at the Kilauea Neighborhood Center, the building right there next to the gym. I'm trying to look at what else. I see that the beach cleanup is happening at Rock Quarry tomorrow, Kahili Beach, 4 p.m. I will try to go to that. Many, many issues like this, but like for yourself, those are two areas that are right in your kuleana, both Waimea and the North Shore. And so you were unaware of, were you aware that the general plan was happening?
See, that's the problem. Not knowing. Not knowing, yeah.
So you didn't know.
Well, why doesn't it come out in the Garden Island?
It comes out a little bit, but I think
not
that...
Not enough.
Not enough. I did have Marie Williams on from the planning department in here. She came in and we talked about it a little bit. And people, maybe they don't understand why these things are even important. But the general plan is what is the foundation of what can be developed where, what can happen. Can you have a school there? Can you do this? Can you put a farm there? Can you have something that, like, people want, something called a community? There's a certain amount of people who want to be building living communities. The general plan is the place to be looking at that.
Well, the general plan needs to update the highway conditions, because every time they add more that's been authorized in the general plan, there's that many more cars on the road. And that's one of the areas that we're very weak on.
We have a very big issue with traffic. I believe a big part of it is that we have centralized a lot of our services. There's only really, for the most part, there's one in Waimea, but most part, if you go to the movies, it's in Lihue. If you go to the court, it's in Lihue. If you go to the airport, it's in Lihue. Everything is sort of moved to Lihue. People go to Lihue to buy shampoo, you know.
Wouldn't it be nice to bring back the airways from Princeville to Honolulu, like mm-hmm. we had in the good old
mm-hmm.
days?
So mm-hmm.
I don't know why that doesn't happen, because just think if you could just drive 5 minutes from home here at the airport and here in Honolulu. Those were the good days. So I don't know why they... I don't know what Jeff Stone's plans are, but that runway could be lengthened, and they could bring in the ATR 41, whatever, to carry 48 passengers.
I actually don't know that that can. I know they tried to lengthen it, and it got fought. And they have to be a little careful, because if they miss, they're right over Kalihiwai. So it could get lengthened back maybe more towards the ranch. But they could bring things in the North Shore. I saw that I missed a point to myself that I just need to say, and this is about the Wailua River, the spillway where it's rolling over that concrete. Now the water is flowing over that fully. Just in case people are playing there, because that concrete spillway is old and kind of crumbling apart, there are rebar on the downstream end of it that are going straight up that are exposed. So if somebody went over the spillway like it was just a little water slide, they could be impaled on that rusted rebar. So I wanted to make sure and tell people, don't play on the spillway up there near Blue Hole now that the river is flowing freely in its normal direction.
Hazard. I've got a real bombshell if you want one.
Sure.
Now, this is strictly hearsay.
All right.
But it could happen. apparently, there is a huge insurance policy written in the event that Hawaii Dairy Farms, fails and has to move out. Big policy.
Okay. I don't know if that's true. Have you seen anything that...
I haven't seen anything, but I've got it from some sources, and that's why I say it's just a bombshell. It's just it's a possibility, but it's like,
That sounds like the concern of the caller, that there was...
Yeah.
'Cause otherwise, when I look at the avalanche of evidence that says this might be a mistake for the kind of investment that's going in there, for milk that's being shipped off island, for the creation of 8 jobs, and if it's removed, it really is a liability to the landowner as much as it is to the other. So I don't know. But I will say that I don't know that.
Well, I don't know either, but it's just something that came along the byways, and it's possible if you want to be suspicious about it, designed to fail.
Well, that's what the other caller was saying. And if people do want to call in, 826-7771. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox, and Alan Faya is in the studio with me at KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. Now is a time, too, I wanted to tell people. This show, oftentimes we look at policy, is a really an excellent time to be working with our representatives. That is Derek Kawakami, Jimmy Tokioka, Dee Morikawa, and Ron Kochi, because in January, the legislative season will start, and that is not the time to then say, hey, can you help with this piece of legislation, the off-season. And so we are 3 months, 4 months into the off season already. Like, if you have something that you think needs to be changed or improved or any of those kind of things, now is the time. I'm going to be inviting them onto the air. I know Ron Kochi is now the president of the Senate, so he is more busy. He's been on a little bit in this show, but it is the time to be making sure if you have a desire for something that it is being put out there. I noticed that Tulsi Gabbard, our representative today, she put something out. I saw her speech in front of the Congress for something that they're calling Tulsi's Law, and that is for helping family violence in the military and requiring that action is taken and that children can't be abused. Sometimes we've been utilizing our military for decades now, you know, a good 14 years of hard action, and it creates problems, creates emotional problems, and sometimes people can be the victim of that. So she did that. When we're talking about being able to stay on top of looking at issues, like the water department, I did feel like they did a pretty good job of sending messages out and trying to get people to come. But the county council has done a website change. Somebody did a really nice job with what it looks like, but it has gotten very, very difficult to, for me at least at this point, to find out on the boards and commissions what's coming up. And that's an area where very often it almost feels like a backroom deal goes on, even if it's wonderful people making those backroom deals. It's tough. Do you ever go to the board and commission meetings? Only when required. I think that's where most people are at. And so it's like to stay on top of it and to watch, it takes a lot of work to be sitting there sifting through, trying to find out what's going on. And I was very disappointed to learn that something that happened, and when looking at the meeting minutes, it was like one meeting and a half. It looks like that people didn't even attend that meeting. The Charter Review Commission did change the requirement for putting a ballot initiative, initiative on the ballot for people to say, we want this or we want that. They changed the requirement from 5% to 10%, and that was something that was fiercely fought last year. And it never made the paper before or after. We have a caller. Aloha, KKCR, you're on the air.
Aloha.
Hi.
I have a question about the dairy that came down in Mahalapu.
Okay.
Did that one come true, or that one is still going to vote, or what's going on with that?
Alan, can you help the more specific? Can you be specific in your question?
Well, yeah. Is this a question about that the dairy is going to be there or not?
Yeah, that one. They're making them there, or they're not making them there, or they're still going vote, or what's going on with that?
Well, there are a lot of us, we call ourselves Friends of Mahalapu, and we are making the public aware, including all officials. Letters have gone out to the governor, the mayor, and as many politicians and department heads, so that they'll know that we don't feel this is a good place to have a dairy.
But it hasn't been stopped. I don't think they've gotten their final permits. They got their permit for the building, but they haven't moved the cattle over. I know some of the cattle were already pregnant, and they got basically returned.
Yeah, actually, the permit was moved to 6 months to June of next year, and that's only to build the sheds, not necessarily to. But there's no approval for the actual dairy itself. It's only to build that structure.
What side of the island do you live on?
Well, south side.
And so, how do you feel about it? You like it or you don't like it?
Oh, what to like about that? Yeah, Sam, eight jobs, you say? You're getting eight jobs?
It might be 10.
Oh, double digits.
Yeah, not a lot, you know? I mean, it might, not a lot.
Yeah, because for a thing they say, going to choke milk for the island, but now they say, no, going sheep them anyway, yeah?
My understanding is going to Oahu, and, you know, Hawaii Island has got a dairy, and they're going to, though that one is in some trouble too, but they have a plan over there to ship the milk to Oahu, and then it would get pasteurized and then distributed most probably around the state.
Hmm. Yeah, so I don't like them. I don't think is the place. I don't think it's necessary, that's for sure.
Well, it might be okay to locate it in an area that's not, it's all clay soil there. So that means there'll be runoff, all the shishi go inside the ocean and kind of, you know, make pilau. So if they can move it someplace in like Kahili, you know, where Knutson place, kind of place, put it up there where that kukuya grass might grow, but it certainly won't grow down there. That's what their whole thing is about, having the grass. It will not grow where this dairy's going to be.
And they're only rotating those cattle. Like, each piece of land will have cattle on it, like, one out of 7 days. And so it's density on it. So it's likely that the grass won't recover.
And what the number of cattle now? Will they get
2,000 roughly? I think it's like one or two under 2,000, I think is the number.
Well, they're starting out with like 500.
I think that they were wanting to bring about 700 pregnant cattle.
Oh, that many now.
So they have a smaller number and they're pregnant. And then so...
that means right away they'll double it.
Yeah.
So it'll be 700 now, it'll be 1,400.
Though some will be male, and then so those males won't stay.
So where did you say you're from, West Side?
South Side.
No, South Side.
Oh, South Side, okay. So
up the street.
So you don't want it either, then. That's good to hear.
No, no. I never liked the idea first time I hear them. So.
Oh, this is the first time you're hearing it?
No.
Oh, from the first time. Yeah.
Well, it's nice.
I had not heard much, so I was wondering, because I just tuned in. You'd been talking about them a little bit.
Well, you know, it's nice that you call in, because here we are, Bala Owl, on the radio, and, you know, how many people are going to call us and give us their point of view? We'd like that. More callers, the better.
Yeah, so...
Oh, shoot.
Thank you. And so people can call in at 826-7771.
Shoot, thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Aloha.
So, Alan, what is the most important things to you right now? I've been, like, pulling out all these different issues, but is there, I mean, obviously the dairy is very close and dear to your heart, even though you don't live right there, and that's based on your own experience growing up in a dairy family.
Well, sure. I from the very get-go, when I first heard about it, I thought this is a sinful thing. And when I finally wrote a couple of little stories for the Garden Island, I got a call from Bridget Hammerquist, and she said, "Oh boy, you're right on. You're writing about what we're concerned with." So I joined forces with her, and so I'm making this time right now as much as I can available to support Friends of Mahalapu, and they have another group called Malama Mahalapu. It's actually Mahaulepu.
Yep.
And so with enough people, I think we're going to get this thing turned around, and it'll go away.
Did you know, Bridget, when you guys were children, you know, she's from Waimea as well. Her family worked in the sugar sugar business over there, Sweeney.
You know, she told me something very interesting that I'd never heard before. Are you familiar on the Big Island? Do you know about the petroglyphs there at Puako?
Yes.
They were discovered by none other than Bridget when she was a little girl.
I did not know that.
They were living there. And so she was crawling through a whole lot of rubbish and stuff. You know, how the coab bushes and stuff all growing up. She pushed her way inside, and she got up to this rock. And she looked at this rock, and she said, "Oh, my gosh, what in the world is that?" And she was just a little girl, maybe 9 or 10, I don't know. She went back to her father and said, "You got to come, Daddy. You got to look at this." So she got him to crawl back there, and he cleared a lot of brush around there, and they could see that it was very extensive, and I think it goes hundreds of feet now that it was discovered. So they actually discovered the petroglyphs at Puako.
Hmm.
And so she's a very interesting person. She's born there on the Big Island.
I think here. Is she from there? I think I'm pretty sure she was born and raised here in Waimea. Oh, well.
Well, anyway, she's...
She did. They moved over there, though. They moved over there with sugar for a while.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we all have to say a prayer for her. Today she flies to San Francisco with her husband, who's having surgery for
Bob.
His heart, Bob. So we have to send prayers to them. I told her I would send prayers, and all of our friends. I know Felicia's sending prayers.
Mm-hmm. Lifting up Bob.
So, yeah. And we want to make him healthy and happy, and have her be happy when she gets home.
And speaking of wanting people to be healthy and happy, do you have your other band from Hanalei that has Honey Girl in it?
Yeah, just for those that tuned in late, I brought a CD here that I made on my birthday, October 13th. 2005. That's 10 years ago. I made this CD, and it was at the time they were making a film called Backyard Music, Hawaiian Backyard Music. I don't know if you all remember that, but it went all over the island. So this is a picture of the group here. It's on the cover, and Honey Girl is on the far right. And a lot of the people in this picture are no longer with us. But Holly Pete was the leader of the band. It was called the Happy Hawaiians. And so I just picked out, can you do track 16? Remember you had trouble with track 16?
I know, and I'm going to have John Gordon, who's coming up next with Jazz with John.
Well, John can help us.
He can load me up.
John, if you could put track 14.
16.
16, I'm sorry, 16.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So we're going to put this song on, and it's a favorite song. It's Pua Lilia, which is one of all of our favorites.
Track 16, yeah.
Yep.
And it was Holly Pete's most favorite song. And when Holly Pete played it, he had a way of fanning his hand that it was a blur. It was like a butterfly. And he, this group played at Tahiti Nui all the time. They were regulars at Tahiti Nui.
And are you going to be playing along with them?
I'm going to play along. Yeah,
okay.
can you make my number four?
No.
Yep.
Ready?
I'm good.
Okay, fire it.
All right.
Well, there's a little bit of chatter here at the beginning.
C.
It's in the key of C.
Yeah.
we'd like to send a prayer and message to the lady who sang that, and that's Honey Girl, and she's probably listening right now at Wilcox Hospital, recovering from something. So that's why reason I picked this song, is because she's such a great lady.
And we love you and miss you at Poi.
We love you, and we invited you to come and play with us, but unfortunately you're there. So we're sending prayers, and we wish to see you back soon. So, Honey Girl, love to you.
Yes, and this is Felicia with Ellen Faya at Kauai Soapbox. John Gordon is in here with Jazz with John. I'm always trying to get him to come over to his seat. Maybe I can pull him into it. I don't know. Him and Alan have been friends for a long time. He does our county council report, which we're going to play soon. I want to see if I can't try and get Jay Fufaro, who lives up here in Princeville, to start doing maybe like a boards and commission report. That might be great, because that's another way of getting it out there of when that happens. In all fairness, he doesn't know that I'm going to ask him to do this. I'm just narrating my thoughts, but I think it'd be a good idea. The county council is tomorrow, and I don't always agree with some of the things they're doing, but one thing I did agree with that came out last week was a resolution about to tell the state, hey, you know, airfares are really high in our island. Have you noticed that, Alan?
Well, yeah, of course. I remember days when we used to fly out of Princeville for like $25 to Honolulu.
Yeah. I do, too, and it was really nice when you can even get, like, a coupon out of the ATM. They did that for a few years. I used to buy, like, a pack of 10 for
right.
about $350, and I liked that we could just, you know, use it like a bus ticket and just go on and get on at any chair and things like that. I think it really matters. I know because I've been really rather active politically, a lot of times when things come up on the agenda to be discussed, you don't know about it till the evening before, like 4 o'clock the evening before for a 9 a.m., and then, you know, it can be as much as $400 round trip to go over there and testify for 2 minutes, or if somebody's sick in the hospital and you got to get over there fast, it could be a big problem.
Well, you know,
here's John.
In my view, a large part of the airfare situation occurred when, and it was done with good intentions, airline fares used to be fixed by the federal government, and when they deregulated it, it opened it wide open. And what a lot of these companies have done is they've taken advantage of low or no competition markets, and that's exactly what's happened in Hawaii. And I think Hawaiian Airlines is a good airline. They've never killed anybody. They run a good operation. But I think it would be in everybody's advantage if they would be more transparent and tell us how much of their total revenue comes from inter-island travel and how much comes from their other routes, because my gut feeling is that a high percentage of their profit is coming from inter-island airfares. Now, I know other markets. My daughter lives in Colorado, and to go from Denver to Gunnison, which is about a 40-minute flight, it's like $400 one way because there's no competition. And that's the whole issue. Another thing that's bothersome to me was the sudden and unexpected demise of Aloha Airlines. I've heard, I can't confirm, that they were hiring pilots 2 weeks before they went out of business. And that whole thing, and I'm not sure what happened or who caused it, but it's...
You've got a caller. I think you have a caller.
Yeah, they'll come on in just a second.
Okay, but anyway, I think that whole thing smelled, and that when that happened, then the airfares went...
Oh, went bonkers.
Yeah, having no competition is a big deal. I think it also has an impact when... you know, we've lost so much of the visitor inter-island because
well,
we have nonstop to
traffic,
the continental United
inter-island
States.
Traffic in the last 10 years or so or more has been way down due to the direct flights into the islands. But
That's a great thing, Alaska Airlines.
Especially. Yeah.
Alaska is great, yeah.
And we have a caller. You're on the air. Thank you for holding.
Hi. Mine is just a quick comment, but I just wanted to thank all three of you for a really interesting, good show.
Oh,
Ellen, this is Dottie, and I just think the whole show has been just absolutely fascinating, and I really appreciate the information, and thank you all so much.
Dottie is one of our star ukulele performers, and I was hoping she could be here strumming her ukulele with us, but she's also dances with Beverly on their... They're going to be dancing at that Smith function.
Okay, well, I'm going to...
Actually, you didn't need me. You guys did a great job, but thank you so much.
Dottie, we always need you.
Dottie, hi from John.
Hi, John. You guys are great. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for calling, Dottie.
Yeah, so tomorrow, and John knows more because he does the taping of this, but the Barking Dogs issue is going to be back on. And there is going to be
property tax caps.
Oh, that's right.
Considered again.
That's a big one.
That's a really big one. And what I appreciate that's coming up is about when people are doing affordable rentals.
Got to get a break.
And for some reason last year, because the HUD median income dropped, even though the value of the houses went up, the fact that everybody's broke. Is you know, they got to find a different way to tag what becomes qualified for the affordable rental tax break, because some people, you know, were expected to all of a sudden drop their rent profoundly. I would like to see them put something in there for if you let a person come live in a spare bedroom, that you don't then all of a sudden not have your homestead rate. You know, that wouldn't be somebody on vacation, but you know, you might have a relative or a friend or somebody who's having a hard time. And when we don't give any kind of, we punish somebody for opening their home when we have so much houselessness, is really
There's a lot of publicity and press in Honolulu on the TV stations and so forth about the high cost of housing and in fact living in Hawaii, and it's might be a good time to get that through, because there is a lot of discussion going on about it.
Yeah, so it starts at 8:30 tomorrow, and typically you can come in for just public testimony at 1:30. But if you go in the morning and then you listen to the surrounding conversation, you're much more well-informed when you make your statement. Or you can watch it online and then make the statement, but they let you make the statement in the morning, too. You don't have to wait till 1:30. So I usually go in there around 8:30. So,
well, we're counting on you, Felicia.
Yeah.
It worries me, you know. It's like sometimes it gets to feeling a little lonely when there was the whole big push with the 2491 movement, where people were really concerned about the pesticides, and not that they have lost that concern. But when they're looking at the pesticide issue, you know, there was hundreds of people that were really mobilized.
How many people realize that about 99.9% of the corn that you eat is GMO corn?
I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Well, that's it. It's all hybrid corn.
Most of what's grown is that, yeah.
And then they feed that to the cows. So the cow that
it's been that way for decades, hybrid
corn. Well, it's getting worse, though.
Well, there's a difference between the hybrids and then the genetically engineered. There is a difference, but, yeah, so there's... it's a big piece. I'm actually being really light on you. I know that you're saying that, you know, at this point it's not your choice who your tenants are, and I'm sure at some level that they're good tenants in terms of paying their bills, and I know that they are making some effort. But, hey, I looked at Gary Hooser's post, so when I look at posts that say something, I go in and I look at all the links. And, in fact, as he pointed out there, when they say the label is the law, and he put, you know, a handful of labels, he didn't put the little spot. I had to sit there and read through the label, but where the label says not to be used in more than 10-mile-per-hour wind, and then very recently the Department of Agriculture has a Hawaii label, and it said be careful when you're doing it at 10 to 20 miles an hour, right? And that they have... up the thresholds of what is acceptable to be, so it's not the Hawaii Department of Agriculture has changed the acceptable limits, and so we have that in a lot of different times in different places, like with the Fukushima, what radiation level is not healthy, and then they up it by a magnitude of 30 or something and say, well, that this is now the new safe limit. So it's sometimes hard to be watching every little piece, but it takes all of us. And I appreciate KKCR for being a venue that we can bring people in. If you have an issue that's very important to you, I'm akamymom@gmail.com, or many of you know my Facebook page for Felicia Alonji Cowden, or my number is 652-4363. And Kauai Community Radio's mission statement is to, you know, serve the underserved voice. And but we try very hard to get the primary voices in here too. And in this case, Alan, you're sort of in both seats.
Well, I appreciate the invitation to be here, and I wish that we could have had Honey Girl, and maybe Patsy and Dottie could have been playing their ukulele. But
another time.
Another day, yeah, because it's kind of fun when we do that. Though we could just do Kanakapila for just a little bit and then pop out. Don't have to stay for the whole show. We just, you know, come in and do a few numbers.
Yeah,
and then that might get more people interested in ukulele.
That's true. And then, you know, when we got these people who have generations of knowledge, like the list that you just gave, it's hard to not have you come in for more than that. So thank you so much. And
by the way, I'm writing a book. You know what it's called?
What?
Right Time, Right Place. I was born on this little fly speck in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and I was born in the height of the Depression. And as a result of that, everything that's come my way has been because I was part of the small population. Like when it was time to go to college, you could pick any college in the United States. Or when you graduated from college, you could pick any engineering job in the United States. So, I mean, that was, and the fact that I started out with cows and sugar cane, and I went up to space, got into airplanes. That was one of those wonderful things that, and the story's got, there's one major good story, the first chapter. But anyway, when I'm done with that, you're going to have fun with it.
I really appreciate that, and I appreciate your humility. I had thought about when I was driving in here to describe you as a man born under a very bright star. And then I thought, oh, I'm not going to set you up with that. But you just acknowledged that. You know, you are a lucky man. And actually, both you and John are very lucky to have been on this planet in a time when anybody can live like a king in terms of having hot water and food in front of you without servants who want to kill you and fresh, clean clothes and be able to go all over the place. And what a wonderful time, and I hope that you live forever, but you're probably not going to live to the time when we're really paying the price of all that we have been able to be blessed with.
There's one thing to remember is that in the good old days, you park your car anyplace, and you don't even take the key out of it. You don't lock the doors. You don't lock the door to your house. You didn't do any of that. And then when you went down from Waimea to Lihue, you might see 10 cars.
Yes, yes, a very, very blessed time, but I'm thankful for all the blessings we have. So you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei K-A-Q-A Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. Alan Faya has been my guest. I'm creeping into John Gordon's Jazz with John, but you're going to be blessed with his voice as you're hearing the county council report.
John, we have our ukulele class from 4 to 6, and when I drive home...
3 to 5, you said.
Well, that's for Te Inui. That's
okay.
But 4 to 6 is when you have your time. But when I leave my class, I tune into KKCR and listen to John all the way home, all the good jazz music and everything. So we have some fun.
Yeah. Right on. Okay, so thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.
And here's the county council report, followed by Jazz with John.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's the county council report for the week of November 2nd. There will be a regular council meeting Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. in the council chambers in Lihue. Here are some highlights from the agenda. The chief of police transmits for council consideration a proposed draft bill to appropriate criminal assets forfeiture funds in the amount of $300,000 for the Kauai Police Department to purchase and erect a new Kauai Police Activities League, that's KPEL, youth center, which will also double as an interim training facility for the Kauai Police Department, and also to purchase equipment for the new facility. This is proposed draft bills number 2602 and 2603, and they are under bills for the first reading. Council Member Ku'ali'i transmits for council consideration a proposal to establish barking dog nuisance limits. This is proposed draft bill number 2604. The prosecuting attorney requests approval to spend federal funds for the services training officers, prosecutors, that's STOP, Violence Against Women formula grant in the amount of $48,595. This will be used for the Domestic Violence Prosecution Unit. The planning director transmits for consideration an amendment to an ordinance relating to the capital budget of the county for the fiscal year 2015-2016 by revising the amounts estimated in the development fund, CIP, to establish projects and spend funds received related to extractions for mitigation of the impacts of the permitted Cocoa Palms Resort. This is proposed draft bill number 2605. The mayor transmits for council consideration for inclusion in the 2016 County of Kauai legislative package a bill for an act authorizing the issuance of general obligation bonds and making an appropriation in the amount of $7,150,000 for the Adolescent Treatment and Healing Center, construction and site improvements for the centralized auto maintenance facility, planning, permitting, and design for the Kauai Fire Department helicopter hangar, and the Salt Pond Master Plan, and finally the Veterans Cemetery facility construction and improvements. Councilmember Hooser transmits for council consideration a proposed draft bill to amend the county code by adding a new section to implement a homestead tax cap for owner-occupied properties that receive a homeowner's exemption and for long-term affordable rental properties. This is proposed draft bill number 2606. Under committee reports, the Budget and Finance Committee has on their agenda approved bills number 2597 and 2598 to amend an ordinance relating to the operating budget of the county for the fiscal year 2015 through June 30, 2016, revising amounts estimated in the highway fund. This is for the Pui Road 20% county match operating budget at $268,000. This is also under bills for the second reading, and the Budget and Finance Committee recommended approval on the second and final reading. The Director of Finance requests agenda time to discuss the new OpenGov subscription that allows the County of Kauai to improve on fiscal transparency for the public, for county departments, and internal users as well, to promote a better understanding of the county's overall operations. And this was received for the record. The Committee of the Whole has a request from Councilmember Chalk, Chair of the County Manager Subcommittee, requesting agenda time to present a preliminary briefing by the County Manager Subcommittee, and this was received for the record. If the Council's not finished with this meeting by approximately 1:30 p.m., it will recess for a public hearing on the following. Bill 2599 for an ordinance amending an ordinance relating to the operating budget of the county for the fiscal year July 1, 2015 through June 30, 2016, revising the amounts estimated in the general fund. This is for the Kauai Fire Department Aerial Apparatus Vehicle, a 10% county match for $71,909. Also, Bill 2600, a bill for an ordinance amending the county code relating to the beneficial tax rate for property use for long-term affordable rentals. After the public hearing, the council will reconvene to complete any unfinished business. To view meetings or meeting archives, visit www.kauai.gov/webcast meetings. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR.